From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 7th day of May 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist, commodity market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus for the U of I. We'll take a look at the crush margins in the United States. It's been strong for soybeans. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast and also talk about the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll do that with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. And a lot took place in both the wheat and in particular the soybean pits for the day. Why did we move lower for the second trading session in a row? Sharply lower, I suppose, in the soybeans, do you think, Kurt?
Well, a lot of moving parts for say probably the one that stepped up the most to kind of spooked the trade in general or give the trade a little less confidence was no real positive news out of the U.S.-Chinese trade negotiations taking place. Also, too, there's some words that some of these other countries are kind of favoring China's side of the situation, and China just continues to deny they've done anything wrong. So this might take a little longer than anticipated, maybe go to the last minute as we approach this May 22nd kind of time frame here. So no new sales to Asia particularly kind of confirmed that here over the last week and a half or so. And with the trade loaded up on the long side, kind of generated some, well, let's step aside here for a while and kind of see what happens. Also, too, we've seen some fairly aggressive planting progress here in the central part of the Midwest. You know, guys are done with corn. Corn's coming up. Half the beans are in for say. Even though this afternoon's planting progress report as a nation might not be that aggressive, I think the trade's dialed into about 37-40% complete on corn and towards 20-25% complete on beans. Even spring wheat, maybe around 45% complete. I think we're much further along than that, but I think these planting progress reports are going to lag somewhat. Minnesota, just getting going here today in a few areas. You take the Dakotas, there's been some activity there, so we'll continue to monitor that and see how that progresses. Also, too, wheat-wise, we're not really being competitive to the Black Sea region. They continue to discount our prices in through here at this point in time, so our wheat's a little pricey on the world market. Then we've seen a little bit better weather forecast for the world wheat-growing regions also, too. So volatility is what the market was wanting to have since we were low volatility all winter. Volatility's what we're looking at, and volatility is going to stay here for a while, Todd.
What are your expectations for the USDA WASDE report due out Thursday of this week at 11 o'clock a.m.? This will be the first time that they've had their chance at putting some numbers out, officially, that is, in a report for the new crop.
Yeah, that'd be kind of the highlight here is as we move through the weekend through here, and it might move front and center here after we trade weather and demand here going into that report. Kind of look at the bottom line for say, you know, yield's going to move the bottom line quite a bit, but trade's kind of dialed in for corn carryout to be about a 1.6 billion bushel number. Bean carryout's about 535 million bushels, so we'll see how close USDA comes to that. I imagine this go around they'll be fairly conservative, but once we get past this May report, they'll start tinkering the field a little bit more as we have more of the crop in the ground and see how the growing conditions unfold here.
No, that those numbers, by the way, in comparison to the current numbers. So, as you said, the trade expecting the carry out by the time we get to the fall of 19, about 1.62 for the corn. Currently, by the time we get to this fall, they're thinking 2.1 billion bushels, almost 2.2 billion bushels left in the bin. Soybeans at 550, next year at 535. Any expectation that will change the numbers for the old crop in this particular update?
Not this particular report, but the next report, as we keep seeing the clock tick away, if we don't see these exports bump up a notch, you know, they could find tuned exports. But also, too, we got to remember feed demand's fairly strong. We'll see what the next stocks report shows here as we move into June to kind of get a better handle on that. Also, too, the world numbers could be a factor here as watching that corn crop in the southern hemisphere, you know, whether or not they'll downgrade that a notch or two in this report, that needs to be watched here also.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today. We appreciate it.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. In today's agricultural news, President Trump's trade team concluded 2 days of talks in Beijing last week, making some headway in an ongoing bilateral trade battle and raising hopes in agriculture that the tariff fight could soon end. American Farm Bureau trade advisor Dave Samuelson is taking a positive view of the high-level U.S.-China trade talks, hoping they can head off further damage to U.S. farm exports in an escalating trade spat, first aimed at Chinese metals and theft of U.S. trade secrets.
We're glad that they're talking, pleased that the very high-level delegation from the U.S. government went over to Beijing, started a process of trying to talk through what are the underlying issues behind this whole thing, is dealing with intellectual property, technology transfer, U.S. companies, how they do business in China, the obstacles that they're facing. So I hope they can get down to these issues and have a good discussion and come to some agreements.
For his part, the president and a handful of his top economic officials met over the weekend to discuss the U.S. delegation's 2-day trip to China. The White House did not put out an official release following the Saturday meeting, but the administration says it's working to plot a path forward after last week's meeting ended more or less at an impasse, with each side rejecting the other's demands and agreeing only to keep talking. The U.S. laid out strict demands, including that China reduce its trade surplus with the U.S. by $200 billion in the next 2 years, and that it stop subsidizing advanced manufacturing and high-tech industries identified in its Made in China 2025 plan. In return, China asked the U.S., among other things, to back off the $50 billion in proposed tariffs the Trump administration has laid out as a response to Chinese practices that the U.S. says has ripped off valuable technology and intellectual property. Well, let's stay with trade, but we'll switch hemispheres. The NAFTA nation's top trade officials will resume high-level talks today as pressure mounts for them to land a preliminary deal in the next couple of weeks. On Sunday, negotiators from the United States, Mexico, and Canada resumed technical talks in D.C. to discuss a number of thorny issues, including an automotive rules of origin, a sunset clause, dispute settlement, and the seasonal produce proposal. Just over a week ago, top trade officials from the three countries closed out 4 days of high-level talks by pledging to continue negotiations on a technical level. Negotiators have been in a constant stage of talks for more than 5 weeks. When the ministerial-level engagement ended at the close of that 4-day stretch in D.C., the Canadian foreign minister underscored that talks had resulted in significant progress and that ministers would be going home to consult on those developments with officials in their respective countries. Heading into today's negotiations, it will be interesting, reports Politico, to see if the ministers return to the table in a bargaining mood following those consultations. In recent weeks, high-level talks have largely focused on a major overhaul of the rules that govern how autos in the region qualify for reduced tariffs, but the economy minister for Mexico has acknowledged that a number of issues apart from the rules of origin for autos still remain to be addressed. Dispute settlement, government procurement, and labor are on the top of the list. And finally today, the Farm Bill. Key Democrats in the House are already lining up in opposition to the House version of the 2018 Farm Bill because of proposed changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. The House version was passed out of the Ag Committee in a partisan party line vote. TheHill.com says the bill is now facing attacks from conservative groups, Americans for Prosperity and Freedom Partners, two groups that are associated with billionaire conservative donors Charles and David Koch, sent a joint letter to Congress in opposition to the bill. The groups actually support changes to SNAP. However, they say the savings are being shifted into other wasteful programs. The groups question the call to redirect expected savings into a SNAP employment and training program. The letter says that training programs have a poor track record of delivering results. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, Agricultural Commodity Market Specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. He's here to talk about his latest pennings for the Farm Doc Daily website, looking at soybean crush. Tell me about it.
Soybean crush is good. I'm trying to stay positive right now for all of everybody out there. I mean, we just got the crush numbers from USDA in March. It was at 182.2 million bushels, which was up 13% from last March. We're still seeing, recently, we've seen positive feeder and packer margins for livestock, which gives support to domestic use for soybean meal. And when you look at the crush margins, they took off in February when we started seeing the production issues in Argentina. And initially, some of those packer margins got weak. They've strengthened in the last few weeks, and it really sends a good signal for domestic soybean meal use. We've had pretty strong soybean meal exports as well. We're above last year's pace. So, you know, as we move through the spring and summer, crush looks strong, and I think that strength will continue for the next few months if we can maintain these kind of positive livestock packer and feeder margins and continue to export soybean meals like at the pace we have been.
Can you explain what crush is and maybe a bit about how it's figured, what it means in the grand scheme of soybeans?
Yeah. So we take soybeans and then we turn them into soybean meal and soybean oil and hulls, but that's a residual. And so you figure the crush by taking how much a crusher can get for soybean meal per ton, and you get, 47.5, 48 pounds of soybean meal from a bushel of soybeans. And then you get about 11 pounds of soybean oil from a bushel. So you take the price of soybean oil, which has been weakening. I didn't mention that. I said I was trying to say positive. So we've got plenty of oil. So what's really been driving this positive crush margin has been soybean meal prices. And that's usually the case. Very rarely do we see soybean oil drive the margin. So what you end up with is however much you pay for a bushel of beans, the value of the meal plus the value of the oil minus the bushel of beans gives you the margin. And I use Decatur Central Illinois crush margin because we're here in Illinois and that's what I care about to think about it. But they're pretty consistent wherever you're at. They've been really strong. As of Friday, it was like $2.63, which is up about a dollar from what the average was from September to early February. So we've seen strong crush margins, and because we've seen that, we've seen strong crush numbers. So as we move through the spring, right now the USDA has I hope that explained it well enough for everybody. You know, USDA's got the number at 1.97 billion bushels. I think that could come up a little bit. But the problem, and that's supportive of soybean prices domestically a little bit. The problem is we've seen really disappointing export numbers in soybeans. And while we have a strong crush, I don't think it's going to make up for what we've been losing in exports as we move through the rest of the marketing year.
The soybean crush is very, very much from region to region around the nation or around the planet?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Recently, we saw Chinese crush margins go negative. They've had some issues with their hog sector and poultry, and I think the prices they're paying for Brazilian soybeans is, you know, and their domestic soybean crop, they had their margin go negative. Argentina has all kinds of soybean and oil production issues, regardless of what their crush margin is. If that continues, you know, the projections we're seeing for their crush this year probably going to come down a little bit. They literally have physical problems. They had a tanker crash in their port and just issues and strikes and typical Argentinian stuff, it seems like, that happens this time of year. So it's all supportive for crush and soybeans, but, you know, can that crush make up for what we're losing in the soybean export market? I'm very skeptical that that's the case. So we're probably going to see, I don't know when the USDA will do in this WASDE report coming up, but at the current pace of exports, they're going to have to lower that number from 2.065 billion bushels, in my opinion. But we might see a little bit of up in the crush numbers because it's been really strong.
We'll find out Thursday.
Oh, it's exciting.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist, commodity market specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. Greg Johnson of the Andersons now joins us to check in on the cash grain market. Hey, good afternoon to you, Greg. Bet it's quiet there today.
It has been really quiet between the lower markets and the farmers in the field. It's been pretty quiet here in the office.
In the area, and I assume everybody's going now, and quite a few have maybe gotten really close to finishing up. What kind of assessment do you have?
I think Illinois is the farthest along of all the states. I was on a conference call this morning with some people from other states across the Midwest, and you know, up in the Minnesota and the Dakota region, northern Iowa, it's been extremely cold soil temperatures up there, so they're just getting started. I don't think those numbers will be quite as far along as what some people might anticipate for a wide-open week last week. But here in Illinois, especially central Illinois, we have really rung the bell. I think central Illinois is probably approaching 90% done on corn, getting close to 50% done on beans, and that, you know, the rest of the state's probably behind us. But overall, I wouldn't be surprised to see a 70% corn completion number come out of the state of Illinois this afternoon.
Did the basis collapse along with the futures today?
No. So since farmers aren't selling as in response to the lower futures price, basis levels are hanging in there pretty well. So, in fact, if it stays down for more than a couple of days, we may actually see basis levels improve a little bit.
And as you move forward, do you think the futures will stay down for the rest of the week, or is it dependent mostly on what happens Thursday?
Well, I think the traders are waiting to see what comes out on Thursday. The talk out of China, the people that were over there didn't come up with a quick solution, which that was probably unrealistic to expect anyway. So that's going to take time. But I think, you know, the more time it takes, the more, you know, farmers are nervous that maybe China will retaliate. So, you know, you've got the trade talk that's a little negative. You've got the potential report negative. You've got the planting progress negative. And you have to remember that, you know, just last week, corn made a 22-month high, and beans were at some really good levels, too. So to see a little bit of a sell-off, you know, from those high levels isn't exactly unexpected, and it's still a pretty good price, you know, all in all. So I guess I would say, you know, there's probably still some more downside in the prices until we see what the government has to say on Thursday.
Are you of a mind that 1.6 billion bushel carryout for the 2018-19 for corn is accurate from the trade?
I think it's probably pretty accurate, yes. Now, sometimes the government's a little conservative in getting there. So, you know, since this year's carryout is 2.1 billion, you know, maybe they, you know, start at 1.8 or 1.9 and eventually get to the 1.6. So I guess I wouldn't be shocked if we don't see a 1.6 number, but I do think that's kind of what, you know, what most of the traders are using right now.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 379. New crop corn is 396. Old beans are 981. New beans are 988. And new wheat is 511.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Monday afternoon. The folks at Risk Pulse in Chicago, not available to check the weather forecast, no problem. We'll get started in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt and work our way eastward out in Fargo, North Dakota today, 85, but they'll drop to 66 for the high by the time we get to tomorrow afternoon. Recover to 71 on Wednesday, and they'll have rainfall Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. It'll only be 57 and 56. 6 on Thursday and Friday for their highs, and then finally they begin to dry out again on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Get those highs in the upper 60s to mid to lower 70s by then. Their lows in that 50 to 40 degree mark over that time frame. In Minneapolis today, 86, and then again they drop off in their temperatures. 74 tomorrow, 70 Wednesday, 62 on Thursday and Friday, 60 on Saturday, before they become a bit warmer on Sunday and Monday of next week. And they have rainfall scheduled for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week in Lincoln, Nebraska. Temperatures are warm all week long. In the upper 80s today, mid 80s Wednesday, Thursday, and back up into the upper 80s on Friday before cooling off with some rain showers Friday evening into Saturday to 76 degrees. And in Manhattan, Kansas, 89 today. Tomorrow and Wednesday, it'll be windy on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They'll have a high of 95 degrees on Saturday of this week. Now working our way through Des Moines, Iowa at this point. We see highs in the low 80s all week long. They may get some wind on Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunshine. Lows in the upper 50s to low 60s. In Illinois, the highs in the low 80s and our low 60s. And then in Indianapolis, Indiana, a bit cooler, but still almost making 80 degrees for most of the days. They'll get to 90 on Saturday and Sunday in Indianapolis. But again, those lows are in that 50 degree to mid 60 mark for a good portion of the week. And then in Columbus, Ohio, 74 today, 77 Tuesday, 83 on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They finally get to 90 degrees on Saturday of this week. 52, 48, 57, 65 for their lows. And one other place we should check in on, the safrina crop or second corn crop in Brazil in Mato Grosso, 92 today, tomorrow, Wednesday, 93 Thursday, back to 92 Friday, 92 Saturday, 92 Sunday, and 89 Monday. Their lows are 67, 67, 66, 71, 68, and sunshine all week long, so no rain in the forecast for Mato Grosso in Brazil. And that's a look at today's agricultural weather forecast. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have a safe afternoon. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.